Who fries bologna?
Yeah, I'm not sold all of a sudden.
Nah, me neither.
I think it's a southern U.S. thing, but half my family's from the south, and I grew up eating fried bologna and smelling it, and it's really freaking good, especially if you put just a little bit of mustard on it and eat it while it's piping hot.
But really bologna is this cheap ring-formed sausage, right? Like,
bologna, it's a big circular piece of meat.
Yeah.
You can slice it at the deli, or you can buy it pre-sliced, and it's just fucking good.
In Germany, it's the cheapest sausage you can get. I'm not kidding.
There's not one doubt in my mind that it's probably cheap fucking garbage, but it tastes really good when you fry it.
It is good. But it is really
bologna
good.
Bologna is different to salami, isn't it?
Yeah, it is totally different. Salami is like good sausage, except you're buying the cheap one. And bologna is just... I can't even describe it. It's
bologna
just
is a mashup
sausage
of all sorts of meats, usually undesirable meats. They're kind of in the same line of hot dogs.
Yeah, practically.
Yeah, bologna, they pretty much throw in all the leftover shit that nobody wants and season it up real good. So when you eat a bologna sandwich, you're not thinking, how good is this for me? No, that conversation never fucking happens. You're thinking, I'm hungry and I don't give a shit about myself. Let's eat.
It's pretty good with noodles and tomato sauce. You know,
if you're going to have that logic about food.
Yeah.
If you're going to have that logic about food, why would you not just binge on Doritos?
Or why won't you just eat a bottle of poison? Like, oh, it's poisonous. I will die from it. I'm hungry.
This food is going to kill me anyway, so I may as well just do this now.
As long as it tastes good.
We should have Cinnabon every day for every meal for the rest of our lives.
Preach it, brother. I am on board with that. Also, fun fact, antifreeze supposedly tastes mildly sweet, like a mild sweetener kind of thing. So...
Yeah, it's a kind of sugar, so...
They do say that all the stuff that's supposed to kill you tastes really good.
Yeah, exactly. Now, before this becomes edgy suicide cast...
that's not why I'm here.
okay.
Well, we're just giving some advice to griffins, is all we're doing.
Advice to griffins? on how to best commit suicide?
Yeah,
oh my
you started this discussion. It was baloney.
Now, if we want to have a discussion about how chemicals can taste really good for some strange reason, we must first step back and ask ourselves, why would the scientist in the first place put that shit on their tongue and go, you know, that's rather sweet. I think we should eat that. Because that is how Splenda was made and aspartame and...
The same logic applies to literally everything that we have ever put in our mouths, ever. We first test it by rubbing just a little bit on our skin, waiting a little while, and then we grind it up and put it on our skin and wait a little while. Nothing still happens. Okay, you can probably lick it and be okay. So we wait a while after licking it. Okay, nothing happened when you licked it, so chew on it a little bit. Still nothing happened, you can probably eat it.
As was quoted in Portal 2, the first person to drink milk was very, very thirsty.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the thing is, antifreeze is known for its sweetness because it was like used in wine illegally, of course, because you shouldn't put antifreeze in wine.
Ew. No, there was a string of murders to make in the late 90s where someone was killing people using antifreeze.
That's why.
It was quite a debacle here in the U.S., So, speaking of chemicals and ingestion and, good things to drink, what are we drinking today?
I should get my beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. And while Storm gets his beer, thank you, I have a Badisch Goose. It's just Goose. I think the right way to pronounce it is
a
Goose.
A full-bodied juice. Got it.
It's a beer with salt and coriander. coriander is the right English word, I hope. Ooh,
yeah, that sounds delicious, actually.
Yeah, it's a only slightly bitter, a perfect bitterness, but not like IPA bitter.
Does it actually have a beer bitter scale on it? Do you guys have that over there?
It has IBU 10.
Wow, okay. Now, the IBU scale, if I remember right, that goes up indefinitely, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a wheat beer. It's practically a wheat beer.
So a 10 is pretty low on the IBU scale.
Yeah, yeah. It's only a very slight...
Look at you drinking a wheat beer. That's something I have never experienced, I don't think.
It's kind of a wheat beer, but... Yeah.
Bleak's expanding his horizon, right? One beer at a time.
Teyanos, what are you drinking?
I am drinking this newfangled drink referred to as Coca Cola.
What?
Coca Cola.
It's the avian version of Coca Cola.
I'm one of those boring people that doesn't drink, so.
That's okay.
I'm sticking to the most sugar based thing I could find.
I'll stick by your side, buddy.
I am now in possession of my beverage of choice. I am drinking an IBC root beer. Spiked with vodka, of course. But still, very tasty.
So you made your own alcoholic root beer, practically. Your own, not your father's.
But again, why with vodka? Why not use, like, rum? Rum would be perfect for that.
I'm pretty sure Storm doesn't know how to spike anything with anything other than vodka, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's going to be painfully obvious if we go to a party and the drink is spiked, because you're going to take a sip of it and it's going to burn like gasoline. You're like, this drink is spiked. And he's going to be like, no, it's not. Yeah, it is.
Vodka is very neutral, I guess that makes sense.
Vodka is very neutral, and you can buy it dirt cheap.
Vodka is the least neutral drink there is.
I can throw vodka in a lot of things.
Maybe like bourbons and like 20-year-old whiskeys.
And not taste it very much.
If you want cheap stuff, then you should make yourself some Pruno.
What the hell's Pruno?
Pruno is a prison wine.
Ooh.
Prison wine.
Just made from every fruit they can get in the canteen and stored in some bag of plastic.
Okay, I completely misheard you. I thought you said person wine. Soylent Green is people.
Prison wine. Oh my god.
Yeah, they throw all the prisoners in the back that don't make the cut in the bag, clearly. As they break down, it turns into this concoction known as Pruno, and then all the predator birds eat it.
But yeah.
What's weird is I can see somewhere in the deep south trying that.
Well, I've been here 20 minutes, and twice we've gone to grim death subjects.
Oh, yes, that is all about birds.
Of course. Hey, you know, predator birds for the win.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta represent. But yeah, I to answer your other sort of statement there, Fleeks, I've tried Not Your Father's Root Beer. It tastes like shit to me. This tastes 5 times better than that. I don't know what it is, but Not Your Father's Root Beer tastes almost sour to me.
Did you at least cool it? Was it like, you know, cold?
No shit, Sherlock. No, I drank it at 105.
Well, of course it was. I don't know with you sometimes.
Well, it probably wasn't sweet enough for our sweet tooth or sweet beak.
I love that. I am a sweet beak. Thank you. It's why with my coffee, the flight attendant joked on a recent flight I had that, I want some coffee with my cream and sugar, not the other way around.
Dear passengers, we are out of sugar because the guy in the first row took all the sugar packages.
He now has diabetes. I'm out of coffee in my house right now, which is really painful. And after the show, I'm going to run out to the nearest Starbucks and get something. So I just went for the most sugary thing I could find. Ready Whip.
I love you, Cor.
So you practically drink drink creamed coffee without the coffee and the water.
Exactly. Pretty much. Gorgeous took my drink and upped it to the next level and completely omitted the coffee.
Please. And the wine, tell me, and that the alcohol.
Please tell me every 5 minutes all we're going to hear is this.
We only have the high standards for our actors and guests and co-hosts on this show.
Speaking of getting diabetes, that's going to be me by the end of this episode.
No, Storm has diabetes. You will be the physical embodiment.
This is episode 38 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
I'm Stormy!
And I'm Tayanos, because it's Tayanos, not whatever Storm says.
Whatever, okay, Fleeks was singing a couple
weeks
ago.
Okay, so let me practice. Okay, so you're Tayanos, right?
Yeah.
Tayanos.
See, my native accent would be you're Tayanos, but you got a little flair to it with your English superiority. You're Tayanos.
Yeah.
So upper class, yes.
It's like he's trying to be Spanish, but...
Well, the origin story of my name is apparently one of the greatest. I did the classic, I need to come up with a character name. Smashed my face into the keyboard a few times, and came up with some good letters, found an apostrophe, and kept that.
Oh, apostrophes are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you from, by chance? What country are you from?
I'm England. I am all of England.
You're all...
All of it.
He is is the Queen, the Prime Minister.
Oh no,
and the
no,
River
no,
Thames.
No, Prime Minister. That's no.
He's everything except the Prime Minister.
So ignoring the Prime Minister first. What is your feelings on the royal family and Her Majesty? You like them? Not like them?
Nah. Let's put it. I know that supposedly I'm like, yeah, it's the royal family, tip and all that. Nah.
Yeah. They kind of don't really anything in the grand governmental scheme of things. They're just kind of a...
They've got the best job on planet Earth. They literally get paid to wave at people.
They get to be money.
They're just very cheerful. It's...
Britain makes more money on them every year. As a tourist attraction.
I don't know about cheerful, because we had, I think it was the Prince of Wales, visit my school in sort of my last year. He was such a miserable old fart. He's like, yes, we're doing this tour around the country to open the new building. I hate you all.
Thanks. Sounds like a very honest government politician, even though they're not really a politician.
I mean, forever. Instead of opening new buildings, he could play video games. That's probably his thought the whole time.
Now that's my kind of king.
I mean, frankly, let's take a look at this here. Would you rather have a prime minister or president who is completely open and honest to the point of like being almost brutal? Like, no, that building over there sucks. Or whatever, you know, just like totally honest. Or would you rather have one who lies and kind of, you know, puts on the face?
Well, see, for the most part, they are the whole very honest sort of thing. But we don't have to see them, which is, yeah, I can't complain at that. As we get the Queen's speech every Christmas and all that. But other than that, I don't have to know they exist.
See, the thing I found fascinating was when I went to Confuzzled, last year. I asked this question to, to many of the local natives I ran into. And I got exactly the same answer as you just provided me. Tienos? I'm terrible with names.
I'm just going to let you go with it. I'll just rip you for it at the end.
Thank you. Tienos. Okay. But I got one person. His name is Avon Deer. Love that guy to bits. Who absolutely went off in the other direction about why they shouldn't have a royal family. And next thing you know, the entire little pub there they have at the center of the hotel is erupting in a debate for 15 minutes over whether the royal family is a good idea or not. And it was blissful to listen to.
That's the thing about the royal family is if you ask anyone in the UK, for the most part, you'll get a meh. You'll get a few that are very patriotic, and you'll get one or two that will start a fight because you've mentioned the Queen. Okay.
Oh, Boffins, you mentioned the Queen?
How dare you mention the Queen in my presence? I'll fisticuffs outside.
I'm very bothered by this.
Mind the gap.
And I must sock you in the face.
Oh, God. That's almost as bad as, I mean, if you think I bastardized names, they had this ice cream vendor come into the hotel Saturday morning, and they had crescent roll ice cream.
Proceed.
And I went up there and said, can I get a crescent roll ice cream? And they stared at me like, you're not from around here, are you? Why? And they said, because it's not pronounced that way. And then he pronounced it in the most French way possible, and I pretty much just said, fuck you, my money's green, and took the ice cream off.
So, Tianos. I pronounce you German now, Tianos. Tianos. Yeah,
No, it's not angry enough, Fleeks. Not angry enough. Try again.
Why are you a peregrine? A very unusually colored peregrine.
The color was because I looked at pictures and went, I like that color. It's very nice. But as far as peregrine goes, I've always had a thing for if I get into a fight, I'd rather my first option would be to run because I don't want to be in a fight if I don't have to. And so the peregrine, obviously the speed, but the hunting style is very my kind of thing. Of that, I'm gonna come up behind you. You're not gonna see it.
So you're a peregrine because you're good in running away, or
I can't run 10 feet without getting out of breath. But I used to do parkour, so I could put obstacles in my way at least. And that was basically it. I can't go far, but I can get out of.
So you're a French peregrine then? Okay.
No.
I'm pretty sure that joke died with the First World War.
I guess.
It's still worth it.
We tried.
What are your hobbies? Why are you here today?
I get the slight feeling that I've been asked here because someone wanted to do a convenient fursuiting episode, and I happened to send in an email saying, "I make the fursuits. I make the fursuits. I have the fursuit. But otherwise, no. I do the streamy based things on the internet with the games and whatnot, and filmmaking.
Real question.
Anything
here.
I can get my hands on, really.
How often have you how often have you actually stitched yourself to the suit before? Have you ever done that?
Four times. Not on my current and original bird, because that was all done hand. But the first time I used a sewing machine, yeah, that went well.
Was it on the live stream?
No. This was before I was live streaming, because I didn't have the money for any decent cameras.
I would pay physical money to see that you get stuck in your
suit.
I'm not sure how to take that.
How do you unstitch yourself when you've sewn your skin into the suit?
You know that bit between your thumb and your index finger? That gets caught in the under the foot of the sewing machine a couple of times. Okay. That's fun. Okay, and scream-inducing.
Yeah.
So you immediately knew that you had stitched yourself. It wasn't like you're done sewing and you look and it's like, oh, bloody hell.
there was the original, ooh, that hurt a bit. Then sort of adrenaline kicked in. So, oh, that's gone. Finished the sewing. That's red. Why is that red?
You're probably like, blimey.
blimey.
I remember in middle school, we had a shop, not a shop class, but like a home ec class where one girl did sew that part of her, like it went like three times into that fleshy bit in between your index finger and like forefinger. And she was just sitting there screaming in class like crazy. They actually had to like call in, emergency services and transport her to the hospital, sewing machine still attached, to get a detached.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I got lucky. Cool. It went over a few times, but obviously, as I said, I didn't really notice other than, ow, that kind of hurt. But I didn't have to go to a hospital or anything because it had gone, it was sort of over a curve, so I went straight over it. And by the time I noticed it, I already had a scalpel next to me that I normally cut fur with. I thought, I should cut that off. Ow, 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 ow.
Right.
Something I'm very cautious of now. I learned my lesson.
Sounds like you learned a vital lesson.
So, and I guess you're the only fursuit elf as all.
I'm assuming so.
How long have you been doing it, and kind of what inspired you to start?
I think I've been making fursuits almost as long as I've been a furry. Because I remember the first time I started thinking of going to meets was, if I go, I kind of want to have something to distinguish me by rather than just, you know, generic face, high sort of thing. So I'd started making my fursuit before I'd even been to a fur meet. And that even then, that was about 6 months after I'd started. I was saying that if one were to make your beak out of resin, for most cases, I'd use a sort of a blank base and then use an epoxy putty to sort of make any detailed shapes. If you wanted to go with the more cartoony plushy type thing, then yeah, that'd be a lot more difficult than what I'd plan.
Yeah, see, I actually want to go with a harder beak. I think they look better on birds. Teach their own, of course, but I like the more resinish hard beak look.
I went with a hard resin beak, which gets a lot of attention at conventions and stuff, and is apparently really scary for children, which is a bonus.
I agree. I like the hard resin as well. There's a couple fursuit. Juko, he got a fursuit head from Maker who used a pre-made resin base, and it looks fantastic, and like has the nice clickiness to it and everything. Yeah. But it's still like semi-toony, like it's not super realistic sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the Heron mask from Puppy Panda Studios or something. I forgot the names of them. But this person, whoever is behind that studio, has a great Heron mask where a wonderful woodpecker mask was built from. I show it to you in the chat. And I want exactly that, and then I want to give it to some fursuit builder and ask him to make me a fursuit, and let me show you the fursuit. I mean, that fursuit was made by Jennifer Miller, Featherdust.com, and it was Stuffed Panda Studios, by the way, so sorry for the mistake. I can't remember the name. And yeah, You can Google woodpecker fursuit and you know what I mean. Is like, I absolutely want the first.
That's a very good looking head.
That is a mostly realistic looking head.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's a how does do you pronounce it? Pileated woodpecker.
Yeah, pileated.
Pileated woodpecker. Yeah. Pileated. Okay, pileated woodpecker. And yeah, of course, I'm a great spotted one. So, what I'm thinking about is, would I put, my mane that hair on my fursuit? I'm not sure if that would look good in a fursuit.
I guess it depends on the style you're going with.
Yeah. Yeah, and this I'm wondering if there's hair that looks realistic. Stuff. So before I look shitty, I would just go with a standard woodpecker mask with my markings, you know.
The only problem with long hair on a fursuit is to get really long hair, you start going into cheap acrylic feeling stuff. And I've been unable to find a nice feeling long hair.
Well, so what you do is...
I'd make the base out of foam and then refur it later.
I was going to say what you do is you go to a dark skin part of your neighborhood and get your fursuit head a weave.
Oh, actually, that might work. Mm. That
a weave?
Yeah, totally work.
It's where they put synthetic hair in with your normal hair, or it's like it makes it longer and stuff like that, but they do it in a way that it looks natural.
No, yeah. Extensions.
Yes.
Yes.
So get yourself a weave, girl.
But if you make that with real hair, you get in the thousands euro, I think. About,
It starts getting expensive.
I'm not sure if that's worth, afford it.
It's expensive in the US as well, but it's not thousands expensive, or else those shops would go out of business.
Yeah, most of the time when people give up their hair, it's for, they donate it to cancer organizations so that people can get hair.
I just had a friend who grew his hair down to, I think he got it to about just under 5 feet, and then just gave it. He came in one day. He was bald. He was just giving it all to a cancer charity. I was like,
exactly.
Or I do it like the, I think it was the singer from Slipknot, and put my own hair on my fursuit.
That if you want to do that, they don't accept it unless it's over a foot long. Because I had a supervisor that did the same thing at an old job.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, no, I've seen some charities take it if it's a little shorter. It just depends on the charity, I think, you go with. St. Baldrick's will take hair that is shorter than that for different purposes.
What an appropriate name.
Yeah, seriously, that's the name of the charity, St. Baldrick's. I'm not making that up.
Go ahead.
Question for the resident fursuit maker. What's your opinion on making wings, both the little cartoony kind and the actually semi-realistic bigger kind?
Back wings are hell to make, and I refuse to do. But I actually had a plan not too long ago of adding detachable arm wings onto mine. They would have been, I think, totaling just under 4 feet, around 4 feet in length per wing. And they'd be zip on and off.
Wow.
But it does limit your dexterity with what you can do. So... I'm going to use Regdy as an example because he's the only birdsuit I can think of that has actual wings. And yeah, you lose a lot of dexterity because obviously all of your fingers are tied up.
You hand them a soda can, it just kind of generally slips out and falls to the ground. And then they look really sad because there's like soda all over the floor.
Yeah, and all over their nice shiny fursuit.
Yeah.
I would definitely want arm wings, like on my arm, because that's why soda back wings. I'm not a huge fan of back wings on birds. I mean, generally for my own character,
if you do back wings and you have your normal sleeves and claws and stuff like that, it does definitely go the way of the griffin. And that you become you have six appendages at that point, which all griffins have six appendages.
Hey, and it's a lot of flexibility there, a lot of options.
It's true, but it may not be reflecting what you want to reflect in your suit.
Yeah.
I will say that
whenever you wear a fursuit, it's always a degree of there's always a degree of artistic interpretation you've got to take into account.
I do also prefer arm wings because I just think they look better than the back wings. In some cases, not all. For birds in particular, dragons it seems fine, but with birds, back wings seem to stick out and seem a bit weird unless there's a lot of detail taken to them.
Mm-hmm.
Arm wings, they just sort of flow very nicely.
I just came up with a question that interests me personally as European. How do you get where do you get your fur from? Because
I've recently there's another suit maker not too far from me who I've been talking to a lot, and we both get all of ours from I'm gonna have to have a quick search on this. I think it's Mohair Bear Making Supplies. They're sort of Bristol way, so it's on the other side of England, but it's within England for me, so that's just so convenient.
Are they made in England, like
or
is it like where everybody gets it from this one website in America?
No, they're I'll just double check this so I'm not absolutely talking out my arse. They're a UK-based supplier. They get all of their stuff from, most of their stuff from UK and European manufacturers.
Oh.
So it ends up being quite cheap. So where if I were to buy fur from America, it'd be around £70 to £80 per square meter.
Yeah,
but just from shipping.
Yeah,
plus shipping.
But from Mohair, because it's UK-based. I'm looking maybe 40 to 50.
Mm, that's nice.
Mm.
So, yeah, because most German or European suit builder mostly have the problem with fur is so super expensive.
Yeah.
But it would be good if there would be more fursuit maker in Europe because of the import costs, you know.
Hello. And,
yeah,
because... you would think, but...
Are we talking the actual fur itself or fursuit makers?
Yeah, we're talking about the fur itself. Because
okay,
the fur
yeah,
because
the fur would be the...
Well, the more fursuit makers you have in a given area, the more customer base you have for suppliers. Mm-hmm. So there can be more suppliers, more competition, in theory, lower pricing.
So let's talk about some known fursuit makers, like who are some of your favorites? Who do you take inspiration from, Teyanos? If you take any, that is, or if you are completely self-inspired.
Well, as I said, the first suit I made was completely pre-actually seeing a fursuit. But a couple I've seen that look really nice. I can't remember who made them. But there's a pair of ravens.
All right.
I think pretty much everyone knows these ravens.
Yeah.
Because they're just amazing fursuits. They've got feathers all over them, and they're just really nice. I can't remember for the life of me who made them. But when I first started looking into making suits a bit more, I think the first one I found and started. I don't want to say copying, but took inspiration from. Was Don't Hug Cacti?
Yeah.
Because they I think they've made two or three of the suits in my local area. And they're just very cute. But...
They are cartoony in nature, very.
Yeah.
And my that's not a bad thing. I think, I personally prefer the cartoonier style.
Yeah. The cartoony style is a lot... It's nicer for most events.
Yeah.
But... A lot of people go for realistic styles when it comes to representing the character, but obviously other people will fursuit for other people's purposes, like to entertain someone else. So they'll go with a cartoony one because it fits the style that they can bounce around and be happy and all that.
Exactly. So when you're doing fursuits and stuff, you have the cartoony suits, which tend to be a lot more flexible. You like the people in them tend to be a little more what's the word? They're more action-y, like actionable, like they do more versus the super realistic stuff. Like you get someone who gets like a Clockwork Creations like suit. They're like you can see them walking around. They're very stiff in suit because they don't want to damage the damn thing. But two, like they're like in character actions. They're very modest and very small.
That's very much the case with my Teano suit. It's gotten a lot more of that realistic style. So it happens to fit the character of that sort of regal Victorian alchemist sort of style. I can walk around lording it over everyone. But I've got Nebula as well, who I made second, and that's I think it was mostly because I've learned a lot of stuff. It's a lot more free, there's a lot less restrictions, and it's just a more cartoony feel.
Fair enough.
I've also before I forget, I've noticed that a lot of suitors that I know go for two. When they get a fursuit, they'll have a second head made at some point. So there's Erythro near me, who's had a very realistic head for about a year now, and he's just had a more cartoony head delivered, which looks outstanding. And it gave me the idea of I do kind of want to make a second cartoony head for mine to sort of test the water on that sort of field.
Nice.
So I think the head is the big clincher for the sort of style.
I personally would like to get a fursuit from, I already mentioned that the one that built the woodpecker, Jennifer Miller, and I also posted, and she also has a very awesome Osprey mask made. Yeah, you can see it in the chat. And I think she seems to be really specialized on birds, and I think that's rather great. But I heard getting a slot from her is really hard to manage.
That's some incredible airbrushing.
Every time I've seen one of their fursuits pop up, it's I wish I could do that, and or at least I wish I could get a slot. Because I can, looking at them, I can see them being very popular.
Yes. Well, I am concerned about whenever you deal with Don't Hug Cacti style fursuit makers, isn't that their quality isn't good, because her work is very good. But what concerns me is I've seen a lot of Don't Hug Cacti suits, and they look very similar.
I
don't know if it's just because her style, because of how she interprets things, that's just her artistic interpretation, which is always very similar, or what. But I prefer fursuit makers where each suit is a unique experience more than similar look that's sort of replicated.
I think that's a big worry for any suit maker is falling into. If you put all of the suits in a room, they'll look the same. But I think it's mostly based on I found a style that I like, and it's sort of a shape I can do easily and quickly. So it's easy to fall into these patterns. I think there's another one.
I think no matter what you do, you're going to have some little bit of your own personal style stick out in all of your suits that you do.
But the problem is starts when your hyenas look exactly like a German Shepherd or like an African wild dog, or and there is one suit builder, I don't know its name, he's very popular, you see his their suits everywhere on cons, and they all really look the same. Maybe we're talking even about the same.
So I'm not going to bash on a fursuit maker, especially one who is as popular and talented as them, but One For all of their fursuits kind of have that bedroom eyes look. You know, they've got the sunken in eyes so that they kind of, they're the follow me eyes style. But
they're very always, intense follow me.
That's very much so like a sexual look that this suit is giving you.
Mm. Well, people who do like that, they go there, I guess. So, yeah.
When I say, I'm just worried that someone's going to say, "Oh, how dare you talk trash about my favorite suitor?" It's. I'm not bashing anyone for having a style or whatnot, but it's if you're scared to go out of your comfort zone, it's. I'm going to be honest. It starts looking a little cookie cutter.
Yep.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're also not challenging yourself anymore.
Mm. I've noticed that, as you said, One for All, they do have a couple of suits like Rico Tiger and Drachi something dragon. They have that very intense follow me eyes, which is very distinguishable. But the suits
Rico
themselves...
Tiger, he himself very much so buys into the follow me eyes and sexual look. Like you've probably seen like some videos of him like playing around.
I've been to a lot of cons with him. He's loads of fun and he really does play with it.
I've played with him a bit on Grand Theft Auto. He's a funny guy. I like him a lot. Well, we are about 45 minutes in at this point, a little under. Do we want to move on to games or questions? Yeah. Really?
But I have one, and you can answer that, Core, if you want. No, not if you want. You have to. In the case you prepared one for us all, I thought like, hey, I make one for you because you can't ask yourself and stuff.
Okay, but sure, yeah. Let's do this.
Actually, I have two quiz, but at first I want to ask you the bug, bird, or bluff question.
Okay, let's do it.
So, okay.
Roll with it.
And for everybody who doesn't know how this game works, I named three different terms. One is a bird, one is a bug, and one is a fake. And Core has to find out what is what.
Oh, so this is for me exclusively. The other two don't get one either?
No, because
Ooh, payback. Oh,
hey, I was going to plan one myself just in case Cole had some, but yeah. I forgot, I'll admit.
Don't call it revenge now, because if he does it right, then it's not a payback.
Like I've said for the past couple of weeks, Fleeks has become extremely cruel in his games. They've become very much so Saw, like, you know, escape a room full of like razor wire.
That's not the only game I have, so be prepared for more pleasure. So, Core, A, Cinnamon Rumpetrogan, B, Common Hammer Quetzal, or C, Bandit King Shoemaker?
Okay, I think all three of those have very bird-like names. Repeat for me one more time.
A, Cinnamon Rumpetrogan, B, Common Hammer Quetzal, C, Bandit King Shoemaker.
Okay, the shoemaker is a bug. The Quetzal is a bird.
Almost right. The Bandit King Shoemaker is a butterfly. The Cinnamon Rumpetrogan is a bird. It's actually the national bird of Cuba. And wrong. That was another bird. No, I take it back. It's not the national bird of.
Okay.
but it's a trogan, yeah. And the B, the Common Hammer Quetzal, is a fake.
Okay, damn it.
So, but you got a point.
A point, sweet. Okay, cool.
A point.
Next.
The fact that you got any points, Core, is pretty impressive given how hard Fleeks tends to go on you.
Well, it's true, and there's subspecies called Quetzals, and they're very colorful, and they're Mayan and
Fleeks
Aztec,
is...
so it's kind of why
Fleeks
I went
is
for
just
that.
Going soft on you.
He's going soft on me?
Yeah.
Oh, when you want to go real hard.
But like I promised, there's time for another quiz, and it's three questions, for one for each of you. And I called it very creatively and on point. Sherman Bird names the game. And it works like that. I will name a bird in English. So far, so easy. So you get the English
And we have to name it in German. Dunno.
No. You can't do that. I guess we would sit here until tomorrow if I would do it like that. But then, after that, I named three different German words. One of those words is actually the German name for that bird, and the other ones are other things. And
so you're going to name a bird in English, you're going to give us three options for the German name, and we have to guess which one's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's especially, I think, great for the German listeners. I would say we are starting with the first question, like learning by doing. And Cor, you can start again, and I have the best question for you.
Oh yay! Thank you,
Cor.
Fucking Raven superiority.
Hey, you just heard him. Storm wants to go first. Give Storm the question.
No, I put your name next to the question.
God damn it!
I would just
so give Storm his question first.
Okay, Storm. Then we are starting with you.
Alrighty.
What's the German name for Raven? A. Raclette. B. Röhrchen. C. Rabe.
I'd like to use a lifeline.
There are no lifelines.
You may phone a friend.
Who do you think I am? I have no lifelines here for you.
He is not Regis Philbin.
Repeat it again.
A.
Please.
Well, all right. I say even the letters in German. A. Raclette. B. Röhrchen. C. Rabe.
I want to choose answer A.
Raclette.
Yes.
It's actually C. Rabe. And raclette is a cheese for a kind of thing where you put cheese on a hot plate and eat it on bread. So
that sounds like cheese.
You know what? Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree. You know what? Storm, I still give you a point because, like, second to Ravens, you chose cheese. That's okay. That's fine. I like that.
Okay. Then, Tianos.
I appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Tianos.
I guess I should limber up.
What's the German name for peregrine? A. Adlerfalke. B. Wanderfalke. C. Turmfalke.
You see, I'm going to cheat because I was learning German a couple of years ago. About a year ago now, and obviously peregrine was the first thing I googled, and obviously it has to be memorable, so it's Wunderfalken.
But the first one is Adlerfalke. You can't google, so you get no point.
B.
Yeah, it's Wunderfalke. It's Wunderfalke. And Cor, for you I got the easiest one.
Uh-huh.
Cor, the Willy Wagtail. What's his name in Germany? A.
Willy Wagtail?
Willy Wagtail. What Kurikage is.
Oh, okay.
A. Gartenfächerschwanz. B. Schraubenzieher. C. Wackelrute.
Give me a second here.
What did you snort that up your fucking nose?
No, but I'm gonna go there next. A is my final answer.
So you have the decision between Gartenfächerschwanz, Schraubenzieher, and Wackelrute, and you're going with the Gartenfächerschwanz. Are you sure?
I am positive.
I give you a second chance.
I'm positive.
I give you 50 cents if you switch to B.
Stick with your answer, Cor.
And an envelope.
With your answer.
I'm going to stick with A.
No, I shouldn't promise anything. I can't put a car on it. I have no car.
You're going to throw in a fucking car? Jesus Christ, maybe you should switch
this your This has suddenly turned into Oprah.
And you're absolutely, totally Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's the Gartenfinkish ones.
It's the only thing that could turn into that many syllables and words. That was my entire logic between it. So
that's not logic.
It's good logic. It's sound logic. It works.
Yeah, that's
Raven logic.
Because of it, I won 50 cents and a brand new car.
Storm. Yes. I have no other question, but do you know the German name for since you're the only one who did it wrong? Do you know the German name for Griffin?
Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
No. I think
is it A the Reif, C the Greif, or D sorry, I start again. Is it A, der Reif, B, der Greif, oder C, I have to come up with something.
We know it's not
der
C.
Der Greif. Okay, what is it, A or B?
It's going to be A.
Wrong again, it's the Greif.
Greif, well, yeah. It sounded like that's what you said because the connection went kind of fuzzy.
So this is just more evidence of Fleek's torturing one of us. This week, it's not me. This week, he's torturing specifically Storm.
Yes. Yes. And I will not forget this, Fleeks. Payback's coming. I can be a very squawky bitch.
Actually, I thought like Cor would choose the wrong one because his was difficult, but he went with some strange logic, and obviously he found out how German works. I don't know.
Da.
Well, you see, when you pronounce a word, when you pronounce the word angry enough, it kind of gives it away.
Right. Anyway.
Okay.
No, I literally just chose the word with the most syllables.
Okay.
All right.
So, is it question time?
It is question time.
Ooh. Give us the questions from our listeners.
So, first question comes from Storm Griffin, and it's to Tienos, and the question is how do you pronounce your name?
Tay. Like pay, as in give me your money.
Tay.
Anos. Tay Anos.
Tay. Tay. Anos.
Anos.
So, I'm just going to call you Mr. T. Fuck it. You're Mr. T now.
Most people just give up and say Tay.
Tayanos?
Tay.
See, Cole can get it.
Tayanos. See, if I say your name like 5,000 times, I'll be good.
Tayanos. Right.
Yeah.
Next question. Next question comes from Anonymous. The question is, what would your last meal be in prison? This question's for all of us, and we'll start with Tayanos.
Gotta go with a pie.
What kind of pie?
I don't know. Surprise me, pie. Not steak pie. I don't like steak pie.
No. Cow pie?
No. I think it's shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie. Good pie.
Followed by an apple pie.
Shepherd's pie is nice. Shepherd's pie is nice. I think I would just let me bring a whole rack of jelly beans in different flavors. like you know what they have in the sweet shops, those jelly belly where you can pick your own flavors and put them in a bag. I want such a thing with all the flavors.
I didn't know sweet was an option.
5 pounds of blueberry jelly bellies. It was a really good week, I'll say that much.
My favorite jelly belly. It wasn't a question, but my favorite jelly belly's buttered popcorn. I love it.
Blah.
I've got to go with the apple.
If I had to have my last meal, it would be a toss up between either a pizza, a ground up sausage pizza from Langle's Pizza in Highland, Indiana, by me because they're like orgasmic, or a good old-fashioned steak. I could see myself really orgasming over a steak. Cooked medium with a little bit of Cajun seasoning and some butter on it. Ooh, some good eating right there.
When I come to Indiana, you're going to take me to this allegedly really great pizza shop you keep talking about.
You kidding? I got five of them by me, so you're going to have to bring an appetite. So what about you, Gore? What would your last meal be?
You know, I keep thinking through things, and I just... A steam pot from Joe's Crab Shack, man. Like... Oh.
Good choice.
Let's hope that one of their shops is near the prison.
Yeah, right?
To get a cold one.
You know what? Even if it was cold, it would still be good because it's Joe's.
Nah, they'll do that horrible thing where they get it back to the kitchen, they'll put it in the microwave, it goes all rubbery and all.
Oh, that would ruin it. That would make it really sad.
Yeah, sad loss.
If it was your last meal, you wouldn't give a fuck.
Also, I think I would, sir. I beg to differ. If this was my last meal on God's green earth, I would want it to be a damn good one, not a soggy, pathetic, microwavable crab meal.
I don't think it'd be the executioner who's not going to care. It'll be the executioner going, I don't really care. You're on death row. It's your own fault.
I'm just another statistic to him.
Yeah, you're a paycheck.
I'm a number. 50 cents per kill per day.
Next question comes from El Sable Griffin. Question is, are there any good fake feathers that can be used in a fursuit? If not, should real feathers be used? What's your thoughts?
No, and no, not unless they're peacock feathers.
I saw this one earlier, and I really wanted to answer it because... Well, I get a chance to now. And I'd say fake feathers are really hard to come by and to look good. But I used real feathers in mine. They were just dyed rooster feathers. And if you're keeping it to a sort of accent rather than a main feature, so if you're using it for lining rather than like the whole body, I'd say, yeah, feathers all the way.
Woo, that would be quite a venture.
Very exciting.
I think I never found real fake feathers. but I know that a lot of people do very cool looking feathers with either like the thin foam sponged material and then they airbrush it, or with stuff like Cobra Cast. If you know Cobra Cast, I'm not sure if that's a thing. And
it's a podcast for snakes.
Cobra Cobra wow. Cast. Cobra Cast is a plastic that you can bend under heat, and it keeps its form. And they do feathers with it and airbrush it too. So airbrush is your way to go, I guess, to make something look like realistic feathers. The disadvantage is, don't hug anybody with plastic feathers that doesn't have much.
It's pokey, I think it hurts.
They break easy. Yeah, I guess so.
No,
so this is awesome. So make it from fur.
I have seen fake feathers that flake actually. Feathers. Yes, I have seen fake feathers at Midwest Fur Fest. That actually look quite good. Mm. They are plastic based, but they're plastic with fur lining each individual part of the feather. And when you airbrush it just right, it looks really good, especially if you happen to have an avian suit that has proper wings on the back. Because most of the time, that's where they put the feathers, is on the wings. For regular, like if you're going to have an avian fursuit and not have wings, go with fur. Just regular fur looks really good. You can pattern it however you want. As for using regular or real avian feathers on your suits, yeah, I think what Tiano said is not a bad idea. Using it for an accent works, but if you do the entire thing in it, it just ends up coming out kind of weird. And it's very hard to maintain because they do wear out.
Big thing about feathers is, on mine, I've used them only for the head crest. So I don't have to worry about people pulling them out if they hug me or anything like that, because the hardest part is getting them in and getting them to stay there. Because you've got to put a hole in the bottom of the feather, then sew it into the thing. It's so much of a farce.
Yeah, that's quite a...
If you can pull it off, it looks outstanding.
Okay.
Now, next question comes from Eclipse Griffin. The question is, has there been any improvements recently in fursuiting technology that you're interested in? Like, for example, digitally controlled tails, mouths, wings, or new cooling systems for heads?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So there's a couple developments that I've kind of watched myself. Sorry, I'm just going to jump in there because this excites me. One, you've probably all seen ACII and Abraxas from Kyborg Studios. The digital faces on those are incredible.
Circles, you mean? Or...
No, those aren't circles. They're a unique species.
Okay.
Two, there is Adam Savage from Mythbusters. He did a special where he was going to a Ren fair, and you can find it on his YouTube tested, where he built a realistic bear costume. And he, instead of, you know, using foam padding, instead of using all this in order to expand it out and make it look realistic and, you know, big, he used like a mesh wire, and then that plastic that reforms under heat. He would use a heat gun to like mold things and like shape them properly. And basically, when he got inside the suit, there were some straps that kind of kept it in place for him, just like some very loose fitting straps, so that, you know, it wasn't just bouncing all over his body. But otherwise, on the inside, it was completely empty, except for just him. And then on the outside is the mesh, and then outside of that is the fur. So that is designs of cooling, you know, just staying cool. That alone would do so much better against padding.
Yeah, I saw that video a couple of weeks ago, and I took inspiration for... Obviously, I've taken a very cheap inspiration for it. And, you know, like yoga mats.
Mm-hmm.
I've started using some of those to try and build sort of hollow limbs, as it were. So if I've got Nebula, who's got quite a big tail, that's all now. It used to be a huge pillow-stuffed thing, but now it's just a hollow foam cage.
And it's a lot lighter.
It's easier to transport because you can just put the head, the feet, the hands all in the tail. It folds in on itself, and it gives you room to put in some sort of fan or whatnot.
Nice.
For me, the most exciting thing coming up is twofold. It's building on what Core said. It's realistic fursuit heads in the sense that you no longer need eye holes. You can actually have hidden cameras, and you can have little screens where your eyes are inside, and you can actually see 360
virtual reality
degrees.
Inside of a fursuit.
Yeah. And it's actually the reality.
Well, it's in the sense that you don't need an actual eye hole. You actually can see, instead of looking right in front of you, you can see all around you because the cameras are completely surrounding your head, and actually get a full idea of what's going on. And building on that, because that allows you to actually, you know, focus completely on designing the fursuit head to look like whatever character you want it to, the cooling system, liquid cooling packs that have little hoses that run up into your head. So that way your head cools down along with your chest. And these systems now are getting to the point where they can keep you cool for almost 4 hours.
Nice.
Which is more than enough time to do a fursuit parade, dance competition, etc. And
you just have to hope one of those tubes doesn't burst and suddenly you have Freon all over you.
Well, it's designed to be non-toxic, but yeah, if you happen to use Freon, you got some problems if the hose breaks.
Nah, you just use alcohol, so if it bursts, you're at least getting a good high.
Fair enough. I have considered something very similar to what Storm just described in a design of a concept of a fursuit that I wouldn't mind getting, where the inside of the head would actually be pretty spacious. I would have a couple of holes in select places for raw viewing, but I would also have like probably just old phones, but tethered in a way that they'd be hooked up to cameras that I could see more 360, or at least, you know, the first 180 around me at all times.
I did actually experiment with something like that, because I don't know where I got it from, but I've got one of those Google cardboards.
Nice. So
I've got the lenses that you need for the basically the phone. And I was planning ahead that you can just put a phone in. It has cameras attached, just attach them via USB. The only problem was keeping it powered for long enough.
Yeah,
to have
that's the issue. I mean, a small battery pack, you know, it would work just fine.
The power of the USB battery packs these days has gone through the roof recently. So
just a 10,000 milliamp hour. Yeah. Mm. In that same line, I also kind of wanted to do LED eyes or digital eyes. And then with the cameras, also have them live stream. I'd like to be able to live stream and record what my suit sees.
Yeah, those LCD eyes, that were the ones I want to say. I saw some really amazing stuff people already developed towards LCD eyes. And that's, for example, eyes, when they when you look in light, the pupils get smaller. And if you put off the light...
Yeah, exactly.
They get bigger, so they have a light sensor and stuff, and that's wow.
Something along those lines, you know, adding these digital elements into these otherwise already $2,000 to $3,000 costumes.
Oh, God, yeah. See, as far as a maker that barely knows anything about electronics, the most I'm looking at the minute is I found some cheap LED strips. I might test some one day, but. That's as far as I'm dare to go for now.
That's, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Hey, start cheap, experiment. That way, if you screw up all the way, or not really if you screw up, when you screw up, it's like, okay, it's a learning experience.
I do have a resident electrical guy who can pretty much do anything. But he does everything perfectly safe. But when you look at it, it looks like it's going to explode. His whole car is just jury-rigged. He's got a sat-nav in there. He's got everything you'd need in a car, but there's exposed wires everywhere. You can't see any of the actual cabling. It's just, it looks like it's going to fall apart.
That's a little scary, but okay.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's a 4-hour car journey to London and back.
Making it work is half the battle. Then the other half's making it look pretty.
Function before. Okay.
All right, next question comes actually from Eclipse again. Question is aside from cons, fur meets, and Halloween, where have you worn a suit or seen a fursuit being worn?
Walmart at 3 a.m. in the morning. Don't do that, guys. Don't wear your fursuits just out in public in general. I know you're excited to get them, but time and a place.
I hate to say this, but I am one of those people that I was just having a really shitty day. I thought, I need to cheer myself up, so I'm going to go cheer someone else up. And I just walked down to the shop. My local shop is about 5 minutes. Walked down in my fursuit, had my contactless bank card in my hand. So to pay for something, I just waved my hand over the thing. Everyone was marveling at it because they're all 12-year-olds. I just walked out as though I was nothing. Just completely normal. It cheered a few people down, made me a bit better.
Yeah, that was like, what, a 15-minute excursion, though? That's fine.
What I'm talking... took half an hour to get into suit because... God.
No, I'm talking about legitimately, I ran into some kids fursuiting. They had to be like, you know, 17, 18 years old. At Walmart at 3 in the morning in my local area. And part of you, because they're like, you know, part of your community, you want to go up and be like, hey, how's it going, guys? But at the same time, I was actually more in the mindset of just like, I don't want to associate with them if they're doing this at Walmart at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, 3 in the morning suddenly makes it creepy.
Mm-hmm. At 3 in the morning, you see everything.
In general, going to a Walmart in general in fursuit. One, I think there's policies against that. I'm surprised they didn't get kicked out when they did.
If you cover your face at Walmart, they're supposed to kick you out, but they usually wait for you to be doing something to warrant it. Meijer is especially, by me, hardball on fursuits. They down there threw out my local fur group when we went there one time because they actually have a food court area, and we were going to go and play some board games and stuff and have something to eat, and a couple of fursuiters went with us. Oh, man, they fucked
that shit.
Call
they do
ahead.
Not like fursuiters.
So at places like, okay, I don't know about Fred Meyer's, but like, you know, at places that you go and play games at, maybe some food court, snack areas, maybe a mall, call ahead and make sure that, you know, security and people know that this is happening and that they've okayed it. It's not that
Anytime we have an excursion into town, we'll always call ahead. I think our September meet, we're all suiting up to raise money for an MS charity.
Nice.
And we're just calling a load of businesses in the vague area because just to say, you might have a weirdo walking in, shaking a bucket of money. So just be on the lookout. The only place that really rags you for it is obviously a bank, because they want to see your face. that's the only time anyone around has had that
sort of...
You have
no excuse to ever walk into a bank in fursuit.
I don't know.
That's just payday bullshit right there. You would see that in payday too.
You'd see that more than just payday too. Just saying. What was the name of that? It was like Grand Theft Auto, but on, you know, insane LSD
Saints
steroids.
No,
yeah,
Miami.
You'd see that in Saints Row. You'd see that in
Miami.
Saints Row.
Something Miami. Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami, yeah.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
Very colorful.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. And our final question tonight comes from Reg Day. And the question is, soft beaks or hard beaks for bird suits? What is your opinion? I know we discussed this earlier a little bit, but if you had to pick one or the other, what would you pick?
For me, I'd go with hard resin beak because it fits the style that I go for.
Hard beak as well, because that way if someone was stepping out of line and touching me inappropriately, I could actually peck them. And it would still be in character.
What about you, Fleeks?
What was the question again?
Hard beaks or soft beaks for bird suits?
Depends on the style, really. But I would get a hard one because woodpecker and soft beaks, I don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get a lot accomplished pecking. My beak keeps smashing. I don't know what to do.
You're just slapping the tree at that point.
Disability.
I do have to say that I prefer the hard beak, but when you go to a fur meet and everyone's, oh, doing the cute little nose boop, you're not going to nose boop someone without giving them a concussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've made that mistake.
I think if you knew how to gently bump someone in the head after you've knocked out, you know, four or five first, you get the timing just right.
Yeah, well, that's the fun part.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You start with the people that you don't like.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, after all, that's what circles are for. They're good practicing items.
Oh, speaking of practice, if ever the first rule of if you get a fursuit is prepare to kick children.
Trip over
you
them.
You will not see them. Every time I go to a non-fur event or convention or anything, I've kicked at least two children. And obviously the parents come up to you screaming, "Why did you just kick my child? There's a child in front." What?
I can't see anything. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Watch your child.
Also not on purpose. No, I get you.
Yeah, you have to say, I can't see.
Yeah.
You see, that's the one thing I think where I miss. Because when I first came into this fandom in 2001. Back in those days when you were a suitor, if you had a suit of at least shitty quality or above, you had a handler with you most of the time to keep the bastards away and the children away and to tell you, oh, there's a step there. You're going to break your neck if you don't step gently. You know, nowadays, it's just, all right, fuck it, wing it. You're on your own. Good luck. You run over five kids, fuck it.
Just plow through them.
I've never had a dedicated handler, but I've always been around people that know the situation.
During our public events, we have assigned handlers with our local group. Like, we've done, when Zootopia came out, we did a big release thing. All of the fursuiters showed up at one of the theaters. The news was there. It was kind of creepy. but there was this big orchestrated event that, you know, if you were there, you were either a suitor or you were handling one or two suitors and making sure that, you know, kids weren't getting pinched.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a major problem.
Yeah, big firm eats like Manchester and Birmingham. They'll have most of more often than not, the organizers will be the dedicated road crossing assistants for the most part.
No. Road crossings or zebra crossing?
Both? All of the above.
Sure.
Pelican crossings.
Animal crossing.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you said it was the last question, right?
But yes, that is officially the last question.
But that's not totally true, because I need to ask you, would you rather wear a terrible fursuit at every con, or get for all your life only terrible art of your character? No matter where you commission, it's always terrible.
I already wear a terrible fursuit, so I'll go with that.
I can wear a terrible fursuit as long as I have a strategically placed hole up front. It don't matter. People will still love you.
Oh, good. That's a more physical kind of love than we're talking about. Then you wouldn't be able to wear it out on the con floor. So Storm's thinking this through.
I don't know. You could just do what most people do and say, oh, no, it's for pity and I swear.
And then you have shorts.
Well, the problem is I can't imagine wearing a fursuit I would be, like, ashamed for, you know, like, super... everybody of us, hands on the table, knows this one fursuit at a con where everybody laughs about, because it's just... I mean, there's probably a lot of laugh in it from the builder, but...
Unfortunately, it just doesn't look good.
No.
So I would choose the suit as well, but only if it was not of my character. It was just another character entirely.
Ooh.
So you mean you would rather have a art of your character being bad forever?
No, I would rather have the art of my character. No, Storm. I would rather have the art of my character.
Listen me out. You would rather have bad art of your character forever than a bad core suit.
Yeah.
Wow.
If I got a core suit, it would be a piece of pride for me. It would be $2,000 versus I would probably never spend $2,000 in my life in total on art.
I'm very much in the same mind as I joke that I wear crappy fursuits, but I think any artist who ever makes anything hates anything they've ever made, because I know every fault of it that no one's going to see. But I've not got that much art of myself, so I'd rather have a good fursuit.
I think so too. If I would like expect that I get only terrible art for my whole life, I would spend less for commissions. And I would have an amazing fursuit.
There's a balance here. It can be achieved.
Actually, Fleeks can cheat because he can have a good fursuit and only do his own art.
Yeah, that's
there you
true.
Go.
Awesome.
Still get good art out of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fleeks' worst art is some of my best art on my best day. So, I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah.
Same, except even worse. I think that about wraps it up today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Teanos, thank you so much for joining us. It's good having you.
Thank you for having me. And I'm sorry for the massive slash in listeners for having my name on it.
Uh-huh. Right.
Don't worry. We'll send you the bill later. You can pay in all the pounds you want.
People are just going to read it and go, oh, he's the one that blames Griffins for everything. I don't want to listen. I've been incredibly nice to Griffins today.
He has. Yes, he deserves like a cookie.
I vented it all on Eclipse earlier.
Yes, you did not. You did not beat me up too badly, and for that I appreciate it. Our friendship has been extended for a little more.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, and remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping, my squawky friends.
Nay, cease to be beeping.
What? No. Never.
Never, never, ever.
So anyway, you were...
Yeah, what happened was there is people working on the power lines outside my house, and one of those power lines is now on the ground where I think it's not supposed to be, because one of them is getting yelled at, and the other one is sitting there with a dumb look on his face.
That just sounds
and
like
in the process of
work.
Doing that, they knocked out either your telephone or cable line.
Yeah, it was the cable line.